Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 8, verses 46 to 59. John chapter 8, verses 46 to 59. Now keep in mind the subject, Jesus' true identity. Let's read. Verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, there's one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Tremendous passage of Scripture, and here Jesus Christ reveals his true identity. But before we get into the study of the text, I want to know, now in this passage, Jesus really lays it on the line with the Pharisees and fully reveals himself to them. Now, of course, because they are in bondage to sin and in bondage to the devil, they miss the revelation, conclude that Jesus is a Samaritan, which is way wrong. He was born in Bethlehem, which is of Judea, and he lived in Nazareth and also in Capernaum, which is up in Galilee. So, I mean, to say that he was a Samaritan is the very furthest thing from the truth. Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, that was wrong, and that thou hast a devil, that was wrong. He didn't do what he did by the devil. He did it by the Holy Spirit. And they end up at the end of this passage trying to stone him. So it's a wild thing. You know, the terrible, terrible problem with the Pharisees is that they believed they were of God because they were of Abraham, and they really weren't of God. They were of the devil. Now, I tell you what, I've told you this before, but that's the kind of problem that you get into with religion. Now, everybody has a chance to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, but the problem is some people get so steeped in their religion, they get self-righteous, and actually then when they see a true revelation of Jesus Christ in the capacity you're going to see here, they reject him. They reject him out of pride. They reject him out of confusion because they now have this big religion, and truthfully, they stay a child of the devil. It's the saddest thing in the world, but that's the case. Now, what is the revelation? There are three things about Jesus' true identity that we see revealed to us in this text. The first thing he shows us is that he is the truth. He is the truth. Look at verses 46 to 50. He says, Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There's one that seeketh and judgeth. Now in this he simply reveals himself to us and to them as the truth, the truth. And in doing this, he starts off by asking them an extremely profound question. He says, Which of you convinceth me of sin? Well, that is a tremendous question. In other words, if I'm lying, you know, we used to say, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Well, he said, I'm telling you the truth, man. And he says, if I've done something wrong, if I've said something wrong, if I am something wrong, then name the sin. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And none of them could. None of them could. Why? Because he never did sin. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says about God Almighty. He says this, In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You know something? Jesus Christ revealed himself as God, the truth here, because he never told a lie. God cannot lie, and that was a characteristic of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:15 says about Jesus Christ, he was tempted. Hebrews 4:15 says, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. No sin. And that's the thing, you know, if there's a problem, you know, point the finger, name the sin, go back to the Old Testament, see what he did wrong, go to the law, see what he did wrong, and tell us about it. But you can't, and they couldn't either. The Bible says about Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for the context, even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for sins, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, a very famous and often used passage concerning imputation. Imputation, that is, God giving us his righteousness and Jesus Christ taking our sin. And that Bible verse right there says, And he made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus Christ knew no sin. He did no sin. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He could not lie. Basically, when he says, Which of you convinceth me of sin? He's saying this. He said, I'm the truth. He said, Now listen, if I'm lying, then I'm sinning. And if I'm not lying, that I'm telling the truth. And if I'm not lying, then why don't you believe me? Oh, that's a profound statement. Oh, that's a wonderful question. You know, I often think about this. This question of which Bible to use often comes up. You know where we stand on the thing. We believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, and people say that we're narrow-minded for that and whatever. So let them say what they want to say. We're going to believe God's words. Amen. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. The Bible can stand up to you and basically say the same thing, Which of you convinceth me of sin? Now, this is a strange thing, but in over 400, not over 400, but nearly 400 years of trying, the world has tried to convince God of sin in a King James Bible. They've pointed to all kinds of problem texts and all kinds of manuscript evidence and all kinds of translation and interpretation errors and all kinds of criticisms about King James and about the various Greek texts that were used to translate the Bible and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something they've never been able to do. Nobody on the face of this earth has ever been able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt one error in the King James Bible. So the Bible can stand up to anybody and say, Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if there are no lies and no sins in the book, then the question is, Why don't you believe me? Oh, that's a great question. You see, because they didn't like Jesus Christ any more than they liked King James Bible. And they came up with all kind of things and accusations like, sayest we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? I mean, they've come up with all kinds of accusations against the book. But the truth of the matter is they didn't convince Jesus, and you can't convince that book. That's true. And if that's the case, then why, Jesus said, don't you believe me? He said, I'm the truth. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Got a hard time with that? In another place, in John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus Christ, in praying to his Father, said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what he said. And you know something? He is truth. His word is truth. Therefore, he and his words are just the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I'm not a bibliolater. I don't worship this Bible. I believe this Bible. But you wouldn't treat Jesus Christ the way I've treated this Bible. I'll guarantee you it's all marked up. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the truth. It's proven by the fact that they never did catch him in a sin. Proven by the fact that they never could find out anything that he said that was a lie. And likewise, God's words are the truth because there's no lie in them. It's all truth. And you shall know the truth, Jesus Christ said, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son sets you and make you free, you shall be free indeed. Notice the truth makes you free and the Son makes you free. They're the same. So he's the truth. Now, he's got a little dig in this verse here before we go on to the next revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 49, he says, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Ye do dishonor me. I honor my Father. I love that little dig there. Why? Because Exodus chapter 20, when the Ten Commandments are given, Exodus chapter 20 says, one of the commandments is, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He did that. But do you know something? These Pharisees are guilty of not keeping the law in that capacity. They don't honor their father and mother. In Mark chapter 7, verse 10, Jesus said to them, Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Wow. Jesus Christ just threw a little dig in there. He said, I just want to point out one area where I continue to keep the law, where there is no sin in me. And how y'all doing in that compartment right there, boys? And the truth of the matter is they weren't doing well at all. They had made the word of God of none effect on that particular commandment. And he had pointed it out to him in Mark chapter 7. You know what Jesus Christ revealed to him? I am the truth. And if that's the case, why don't you believe me? That's great. But that's not what all revealed himself to be. Not only did he reveal himself to be the truth, he revealed himself to be eternal life. Eternal life. Look here again in John chapter 8, verses 51 to 55. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never die, or he shall never see death. Excuse me. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Oh, yeah, they're certain of it now, right? They ask the question, say, is we not well that thou hast a devil? Now we say, we know thou hast a devil. Well, they really came up the wrong tree there, didn't they? Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. In other words, I'm not making myself to be anything. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God, yet ye have not known him, But I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Well, he said here, if you keep my saying, you shall never see death. Wow. Then you know what? If I were, because I'm saved now, so if I were one of the Pharisees hanging back there in that day and I heard him say, now wait a minute, which of you convinced me of sin? And I couldn't think of one in all of his years of living. And then he said here, if you keep my saying, you'll never see death. You know what I'd do? I'd say, okay, I'll take it. you stupid Pharisees may want to kick me out of the synagogue and give me a hard time and all that other kind of stuff. But this fellow right here said, I'll never have to see death if I keep his saying. I join up. I'm one of you. I'll take it. Because he is eternal life. Now, these guys here so proudly said, ah, we got you now. Abraham is dead and the prophets. But all they did is reveal their ignorance, their disbelief, their stupidity, their blindness. Because, you know, Jesus Christ was attacked by the Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection and ask about what happens in the resurrection concerning a woman who had been married to seven brothers. Whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? Jesus answered in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. So Jesus Christ didn't have a devil. He said, you keep my saying, you'll never see death. These guys said, we got you now. Abraham's dead. No, he's not. No, he's not. According to Jesus Christ, when God said, I'm the God of Abraham, that meant that Abraham was alive. You say, show me a little more proof, preacher, and I'm inclined to believe you. Well, I'm glad you asked for that. I'll be glad to show that to you. Turn over here to Luke chapter 16. You can see it for yourself. You see, Luke chapter 16, because these old scholar Pharisees that live today write in their little commentaries that this is a parable. This is not a parable. This is a real man and a real fella named Lazarus that was laid at his gate that was a poor man. Lazarus got to go to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man went to hell. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, this rich man in hell lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, if that was just an appearance of Abraham or a statue, Abraham couldn't answer back. But since God is the God of the living and God, I am the God of Abraham, meant that Abraham was still alive, and Jesus Christ testified to that fact in John chapter 8, then Abraham does answer because he's alive. Look in Luke chapter 16, verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And he goes on to preach a sermon to him. Oh, I tell you what, there's nothing like loving a Bible and seeing right out of the Bible an answer to every question that is raised. Jesus Christ right here revealed himself to them as eternal life. He said, if you keep my saying, he shall never see death. Why? Because Jesus Christ is eternal life. Look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. We know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Well, glory to God. I'm telling you, this is a passage of Scripture now here, isn't it? Okay, Jesus Christ revealed himself as the truth. Jesus Christ revealed himself as eternal life. And here Jesus Christ also revealed himself as God incarnate. And that's what really upset the Pharisees, and that's when they took up stones to kill him. Look in John chapter 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. He revealed himself as God manifest in the flesh, God incarnate, God himself, the express image and glory of God, right there. You know how he did it? Because he said, before Abraham was, watch it, he said, I am. That's the tetragrammaton. That's the way that God revealed himself in the burning bush to Moses. And man, I'm telling you, that really fouled them up. When he said that about himself, they were mad. They were furious. They were not about to bow down and worship that man right there, and yet he was worthy of all their worship. You see, in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses told God, he said, When I come to the children of Israel, say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. They shall say to me, What is his name? Or what shall I say unto them? In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, that really tied him up right there. Oh, that really caused the problem right there. You know something? Jesus Christ is God incarnate. That's what the Bible says. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. In John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus Christ told them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am. And then the word he is in italics. Now, it's I am he. But the fact that it's in italics shows you that he said, Lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am. It's the same thing that happened when Judas Iscariot and the other guys came in to take the Lord Jesus Christ out of the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked them in John chapter 18 who they sought. And here in John chapter 18, verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground, knocked them down with it. Now watch what he said here. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. You know what he saw? Well, I'll show it to you real quick. Go back to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 is the chapter where Abraham tried to offer Isaac. And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, God told Abraham, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Now, you know something? Up on that mount, Isaac asked where the sacrifice was, and Abraham said in verse 8, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. He didn't say he will provide a lamb for himself. He said he will provide himself a lamb. And so, of course, when Jesus Christ shows up, John the Baptist says, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In other words, God himself, in the form of Jesus Christ, came as the sacrifice. Now, with this Mount Moriah, has a great cross reference in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. And if you go over there real quick, you're going to find out that this Mount Moriah is the place of the Temple Mount. It's Jerusalem. Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father. Then what do you know but the very place where Abraham took Isaac to be sacrificed is the very place where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary. So when Abraham saw the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw two things. First, he saw the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 22, a ram, that's a male lamb, that's what Jesus Christ was, caught in the thicket by his horns, which Abraham sacrificed. He saw the substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only that, but because God Almighty had promised an everlasting seed to come from Abraham and Sarah, Abraham knew that if he killed Isaac, God would have to raise him up from the dead. And that's exactly what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 says. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Hebrews 11:19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I'm telling you, that day that Jesus Christ visited with the Pharisees, he tied the rag on the bush, he gave them no excuse to wind up in hell. He revealed himself as the truth. They accepted it as a lie. He revealed himself as eternal life. They accepted it as the life of a man. He revealed himself as God incarnate. They accepted it as a devil and tried to stone him. Let me tell you something. He is the truth. He is eternal life. He is God incarnate. If you want to ever hope to ever see God Almighty in heaven, you're going to have to trust that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, or you'll never get in. And there you have it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.